Welcome to the podcast from Cambridge University Medical Education Group, or QMEG for short. This is a podcast from the University of Cambridge Clinical School, focusing on medical education. We discuss a range of topics that medical educators are dealing with. I'm your host, Cheryl France, head of QMEG. Today, we welcome Dr. Nicola Jones. Nicola is a consultant in cardiothoracic intensive care, as well as the clinical lead for intensive care at the Royal Papworth Hospital in Cambridge. In addition, Nicola is the regional clinical subdean and associate lecturer at the University of Cambridge. Welcome, Nicola.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here today. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and being with us today. I'm really grateful. I think from my perspective, it'd be really helpful if you could help the audience in understanding a little bit more about your role at the Royal Papworth Hospital, as well as you have several roles actually here at the University of Cambridge Clinical School. So I think if you could help us to understand that, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, of course. So I'm a consultant in intensive care medicine at Royal Papworth Hospital and have been for about 10 years now. And I'm really interested in all things education, in fact, as you say, a number of roles at the clinical school. So one of those roles is the clinical lead for year four. So that role involves me working in conjunction with the coordinator for year four. And we're involved in coordinating all of the teaching activities that happen throughout the fourth year of the clinical school. And it really is a sort of a point of reference for any queries or concerns for the students or for faculty. So that's in terms of the year four role. I'm also involved in terms of being the coordinator for the clinical teaching fellows in the region. So that's a relatively new role that I've taken on. And clinical teaching fellows are junior doctors who've taken time out of their full-time clinical training and have protected time to teach. And most of the hospitals in the region to which our students rotate have clinical teaching fellows. So this is a new role to be able to think about how we can coordinate their activities and how we might try to connect, create a sort of sense of community amongst the teaching fellows. So that's a really exciting role that I'm really enjoying taking on. And then, as you say, the regional clinical subdean at Papworth.
Wow. So that is quite a bit. I think, could we dive into some of those and just gain, you were already expanding on the fellows, the clinical fellows. Is there training or things that they need to do to be part of this role? And what is their role in terms of, for example, at your hospital, the Royal Papworth? Could you give us some more insight into that?
Yeah, of course. So there are a really increasing role. So if you look at any adverts, if you see in the popular places whereby there's medical jobs advertised, they're increasing all the while. So they're really, really increasing in terms of how common they are. And they're a very popular option for junior doctors. And essentially, they often will take some time out of their full-time clinical training, often once they've finished their foundation doctor years. And it gives them an opportunity to have some time where they can spend time teaching students, or less experienced junior doctors. Most of the hospitals will offer the clinical teaching fellows some sort of formal teaching or sort of theoretical teaching in medical education or clinical education. So that might involve, for example, a postgraduate certificate. And that will sit really nicely alongside their experiences whereby they'll be teaching students and junior doctors in the clinical environment.
Oh, that's wonderful. So these are junior doctors who have finished, as you said, their foundation years, but are training at that time to become consultants. So it's that in-between time. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely, yes. So they'll probably have worked for 2 years as a junior doctor doing their foundation training. And often they want to take time out of full-time clinical practice to really take stock and think about where they might want to go in the future in terms of what specialty they might want to explore and to perhaps expand their portfolio. So often these roles will be combined so that they'll have some protected time to do some teaching, but they'll also have some time to do some clinical work. And it gives them an opportunity to explore various clinical specialties and think where they might want to go in the future in terms of their own specialty that they might choose. But it also gives them time to develop their skills and their portfolio in other ways. So they'll be involved in delivering teaching, but there might also be opportunity for them to be involved in quality improvement or clinical educational research and develop some sort of management and leadership skills as well. So a really great opportunity for them to expand their portfolio whilst also exploring some aspects of clinical practice that they might want to pursue in the future.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I know we've talked about some of these roles of training and the fact that because they're younger, usually younger in age, they're a bit closer to our students who are coming through and having some training. So it's a good relationship and opportunity for our students to learn from some near peer rather than having the grand consultant who's a bit more threatening. Is that?
Absolutely. No, I think that's a wonderful point. And I think it's exactly that. So I think it's far easier for the students to relate to somebody who's maybe only 2, 3, 4 years ahead of them and has actually got sort of real lived experience of what it is to be a junior doctor in the NHS currently. So I often still think back to the times of being a house officer, which really shows my age, was actually, you know, the foundation doctors will, or the clinical teaching fellows will talk about their time as a foundation doctor. And often they'll have worked within the East of England as well. So they may have, you know, sort of insider knowledge, as it were, of working in particular hospitals. And I think that, that, as you say, that near-peer relationship is really beneficial. And in fact, we've done some, I think, quite interesting teaching sessions whereby we've paired up our clinical teaching fellows with, you know, esteemed consultant surgeon or a cardiologist, whatever it might be. And we've done those in parallel so that actually it's a really nice mix whereby you can have that sort of wisdom, as it were, and that sense of experience of the consultant there. But actually then the clinical teaching fellow can interject for the students and say, well, actually, when I was a foundation doctor only, you know, a month or two back, I saw a patient like this and this is what we did. So I think that's a really nice mix. And it also gives the opportunity for the teaching fellows to then benefit from teaching perhaps with a more experienced educator as well. So I think that's a really nice mix.
That is a nice mix. And that leads me on to my next question, which was about how does it work at your hospital in terms of integrating students? Because I've heard some really good feedback from students who have been at the Royal Papworth and how wonderful the training was. So could you perhaps elaborate a bit more on that? Because obviously you've already said some of what happens, which sounds excellent.
So it was really inspiration from having spoken to a student. So we hold interviews with students at the end of each of their clinical years, and we hear about how they, you know, they have their experiences and how they got on. And I still remember now speaking to a year four student at the end of what was her first year of clinical practice. And I actually knew her from a preclinical student, and I remember her being so super excited to start clinical work. And so I was meeting her a year on now to hear about her experiences, and she was somewhat deflated, and I was you know, saddened, and I wanted to understand more. And she talked to me about how that she'd felt in making that transition that she'd felt a bit lost and all at sea, and that she felt that when she was in the clinical environment, you know, it felt this sort of foreign world, and people were talking in a language that she didn't understand. And the bit that really struck a chord for me was that she wanted, or felt in retrospect, it would have been really useful if there'd been someone to hold her hand. And so I discussed this with my colleague, Dr. Zilay Khan, who I work at Papworth with. And we had this notion of creating a multi-professional education team that would really serve to do exactly that, to hold the student's hand in making that transition to the clinical environment. And it was from there we developed the idea of the clinical teaching fellow roles. So that must be about 4 or 5 years ago now. So it very much came about with the idea that there would be a teaching fellow there who knew the ward and knew the student was going to arrive and would be there to welcome them and introduce them to the team and really be there to support their learning in the clinical environment. Because one thing that struck me is there's all manner of things that are happening, but often students say, well, nobody was teaching me and I didn't learn anything. And it's often because I think they just can't perhaps make sense of what's happening around them. So those were the ideas in the first instance for having the teaching fellows.
That's wonderful. Because yes, we have heard stories of that, or, you know, I didn't know where to go. And, you know, we've all started a new role. And what happens on the first day? How does that feel? It's a bit scary. And for students having to go to different hospitals, different GP surgeries, different, you know, there's lots of transition, and that first day happens a lot, and you're young and you're learning at the same time. So it's wonderful to know that somebody is there to hold a hand and just say, hey, this is how we're going to do it, yeah. and support them. So,
and also that can be a sort of, that support can vary. So in the first instance, it might be there to meet the student and to show them the ropes and, you know, introduce them to the team. But actually that can then graduate over the coming days and weeks, in terms of it might be that they then can help signpost students to patients to go and see and go along with them, so they can provide them some feedback on the way that they might have interacted with a patient. And alongside supporting the students, we're very conscious that, you know, clinical pressures are such that they are, that, you know, it can be very challenging for the clinicians within the ward environment. So, you know, much as I enjoy teaching, if I've got a busy ward round to do, I can think, oh, gosh, it's really a struggle to do the best for my patients as well as to do the best for my learners. And so we really wanted the team to help unburden, as it were, the educators as well, or the clinicians. And actually start to mean that, rather than, you know, on a busy ward, I think, oh, goodness, I've got students, I don't know how I'm going to balance all of this. Instead think, oh, it's brilliant, I've got a student with me on the ward, and that means it's going to be one of the teaching fellows. And actually that means that they may have seen one of the patients already, and that actually they could peel off and do some of those jobs, or request that scan, or go and do the... So we very much wanted the clinical teaching fellows. And sort of more laterally, we have a team of facilitators from a sort of multi-professional backgrounds. We wanted them to be a resource to support busy clinicians as well. And in doing that, start to mean that the students could feel more integrated in the clinical teams and real world clinical experiences. And that they had a real sense of value within the clinical teams, and they were doing something that was real, and making a difference for patients and the clinical teams that they were on placement with.
That does sound brilliant. And I can see why there's more of these roles popping up, because it's supporting you as a clinician as well as the student being able to get that experience. So as you said, you know, ordering more scans, those sorts of things are very necessary skills to be able to do, time consuming. Yeah. And if we can allow somebody else to go off and do those, then it gives you more time as the consultant to see more patients and higher risk patients, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And I think that way, instead, the student perhaps doesn't feel on the outside or a burden, or that they're getting in the way, that instead they think, well, I'm here, and actually I do understand what's happening, because there's been this person here to explain it to me, and I can do something useful, because I've been able to now go and talk to somebody about this, that, or the other, or we've been able to request this or follow up on that, because they've had somebody there to support them in doing that.
That's brilliant. It does give that overall feeling of being involved, which is so important. Mm-hmm. So that sounds amazing. So still going back to the Royal Papworth mm-hmm. Hospital, I understand there's also been some simulation programs that have been very popular with students, and something that your hospital in particular has been leading on. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Absolutely. So as an anaesthetist, it was one of the things we had to do as part of our training. And I can always remember feeling absolutely, you know, it was quite difficult or challenging in the first instance. But I remember still myself thinking, gosh, what a useful tool this is, in the sense that you got to practice or rehearse scenarios in a real safe space, and you could have some feedback on that. And I think it really helped for my own learning then, in terms of my own clinical practice. So again, with my colleague, Dr. Khan, we were really keen to bring this to students. So, gosh, it must be as many as 10 years now. We cobbled together some funds to be able to get some equipment, and things from there have grown. And now I'm really proud to say that for all students coming to placements at Papworth, they will each have an opportunity to do some simulation. So we run that simulation such that we go through various clinical problems, and they get a chance to then run through the clinical management, but moreover work as part of a clinical team and talk about afterwards how the clinical scenario went. But moreover, and I think this is where the real value is, how the team working went and all of those sort of non-technical skills. And it's really evolved, actually. We run those now for our medical students, but we do them in conjunction with students from other health professional background. So with our nursing students, we have our pharmacy students. So we run them as a multi-professional simulation, and they're facilitated again by a multi-professional team. And I think that's really important because it reflects how we work in practice. So, you know, I see that in intensive care, but, you know, in clinical practice as a whole, we don't work as a bunch of doctors or a bunch of nurses. We work together in terms of being a multi-professional team.
That is brilliant. I think that's important to highlight, the fact that it isn't, you know, each role is not in isolation. It's about working as a team. And those, you know, those softer skills, that teamwork is vital to get it right. And I think that's really, really important. And I think also just, we've called it the simulation program, but there's all sorts of things that go into that. And these days, that, you know, AI is the big word, and this is what we're all using. But there's lots of different tools that can help aid that. And it doesn't have to be the most expensive AI kit. It can be a simple simulation as well as a fancier.
Absolutely. And I think they really complement one another. So you might have, you know, you take a day away from clinical practice and you go to a very high fidelity simulation. But equally, it might be you break off in the middle of a ward round and do something that's far more low fidelity, you know, in situ there in the clinical environment. And as you say, I think the technology is evolving all the while. There's, you know, there's virtual reality simulation. There's all sorts of things that are happening at pace. And I think it's really important that we see how that technology can help support our learners and the place it has within our clinical placements and training more broadly.
Yes, absolutely. Really important. So thank you for highlighting that. It's really useful. Just going back to any of the other roles, because we kind of honed in on that one. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about being a sub-dean and what that means, or any further information about, I mean, I think you did quite a good explanation about what it means to be a year four lead and how you work with others. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I guess in thinking about the sub-dean role, it's been a real privilege to be the sub-dean, because I think you are somebody within that particular organisation that's been almost like the figurehead or the person who's central in organising the provision of placements for students, whether that's their teaching or their experiences on the ward, and doing your very best to be able to quality assure that and try to make it the best placement you possibly can. And it opens all sorts of opportunities for you to work with members of people within your own organisation to see how you can best support the students whilst they're on placement. But I've really enjoyed working with colleagues in the region who are working in other hospitals to see how they run their programmes and what you can learn from them. And I think that's where the work that we're doing with the clinical teaching fellows as well is that they are working in different hospitals but supporting our students, and how we can use them to best deliver the teaching for the medical students, and also think about how we develop them as educators, because they're going to be the future and perhaps will become members of faculty here or elsewhere. So again, they've got a lot to bring, and in the teaching fellow role, we're really thinking about how we can look at their development, not only in terms of their teaching skills, but also those sort of more broadly in terms of being able to quality assure their teaching, to be able to innovate things, to be able to undertake clinical educational research, and also be able to sort of lead teaching programs in the future. So that's a really fun thing.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you for that. This has been really interesting and great insight into what our students, you know, the extra education that they get and how that works, particularly in the Royal Papworth. Do you have any top messages that you would like our listeners to take away from today?
So I think having been a doctor now for some 20 years or so, I still think it's the most wonderful career. And I think I'm still struck every day by how fascinating clinical medicine is. So it could be that there's some really interesting bit of physiology or some new drug we've used or something I've heard from a patient I've never heard before. And so I think clinical medicine is just so wonderful. And it's interesting on a sort of very scientific level, but from a very personal level, and the privilege that it is to work with patients and to be able to work with a multi-professional team. And I really want to try to capture that for students. And I think that's what's really key, is that I think anything we can do to integrate our students into clinical teams so that they feel that they're making a real difference and they're really central to the team as opposed to sort of looking from the outside. So I think the tools and resources that we have, whether that's by having clinical teaching fellows or facilitators, all being using various tools and technology to be able to help them to develop those skills so that they feel safe within the clinical environment, I think is really key. So I think anything we can do to be able to cultivate that sense of fascination and curiosity about clinical medicine, I think is really important, particularly when things are so challenging in terms of pressures within healthcare at present.
I would agree. Thank you. Gosh, that's a great summary. I appreciate it. So, Dr. Nicola Jones, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you ever so much. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Thank you. And thank you to you, our listeners. If you would like to have more information about QMEG or to listen to our previous podcasts, please visit the QMEG website at www.cumeg.cam.ac.uk. We are grateful to you, our listeners. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to listen to us today. If you would like to hear more from this or a previous series, please like and subscribe to our podcast.